818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the second half of hour number one here on this Thursday, August 29th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on 97.7 FM WCHY Sheboygan. Joining us on the line right now is former state senator, former gubernatorial candidate Patrick Colbeck, good friend of ours. Good morning, Pat.
Top of the morning to you, my friend.
You put up a post last night about the Michigan Supreme Court ruling, but before we get into all of that, I just explained and basically recalled you and I being in the basement of Cobble Hall TCF Center on the night of the election back in 2020 and how you approached me. You had me come because you wanted me to be a witness to see what was happening with these machines. The Ethernet cables, we traced them all the way back to the end of the line where we found that high-speed commercial modem. You confronted Chris Thomas about the connectivity of these devices to the Internet. He, of course, denied your request to have somebody show you whether they were connected or not. I recanted that whole story. But part of it was we were told that we couldn't use our cell phones inside the TCF Center. They explained that it was because ballots were there and they didn't want us taking pictures or videoing any of the activities going on. This was basically a rule that the then Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson implemented for that election. Is that a pretty accurate recount of what happened back in 2020?
I think that rule was in place for 2022. I don't recall whether or not it was in place for 2020, I'm sorry to say. But you're highlighting a key tenet of what's being discussed here. And frankly, they don't even need rules to make it up and put it into their guidelines and say it so. And it takes us months to go off and conduct a FOIA request to confirm whether or not they were telling us the truth or not. So by that time, it's too late to challenge the election results.
Right. Well, I was told that at the door when I checked in, when I showed my credentials, that's what they told me is I couldn't use my cell phone once I entered into the TCF Center.
Oh, yeah. So they definitely told us that. That was part of the instructions that we couldn't do it. That was definitely the guidance that was issued.
Right. Now, fast forward to 2022, Jocelyn Benson, via an executive order, a declaratory ruling, however you want to say it, she basically put these rules in place via an actual document and enforced it and told the local clerks they had to operate the elections that way. Again, right. 2022, now she's almost doubling down trying to repeat the same thing in 2024. Is that the basis for the O'Halloran lawsuit, DeVissers lawsuit, is that the basis? Do I understand it correctly?
Yeah, there were five counts in particular that were of at issue in the suit, and one of the ones that they said was moot now because the Democrats have since changed the law was the one regarding the ability for poll challengers to use electronic devices like phones to record evidence of malfeasance. And that's really what this is all about. It's to block the collection of information that would indicate malfeasance. I mean, there's already laws against, you know, sharing election results before the end of the evening and everything else like that. So anybody who uses their electronic device to record that and broadcast it, they should be held accountable, right? Just like all the Dems that left early on election night before the polls were closed, they should have been held accountable for leaving before the close of the polls, right?
Sure.
But they don't, so there are laws already prohibit the release of sensitive information. What they don't want is the recording of sensitive information that would help us counter their narratives.
Got it. Now, in this process, and explain to the audience, the Supreme Court's decision was 4-3. explain what they basically codified based on their opinion, based on these current rules that she's trying to implement for November 5th's election.
Well, they codified the promotion of Jocelyn Benson to lawmaker, first of all. So apparently she's not just simply the Secretary of State anymore. They really liked what she did so much that they allowed her to put in prohibitions against poll challengers that are found nowhere in Michigan compiled law. So I just recommend everybody read that decision, particularly the dissenting opinion written by Justice Brian Czar. I think that tells you everything you need to know. So there's basically two different aspects of this case worth mentioning. One is the fact that they effectively adopted what's an ex post facto's interpretation of the electronic use of electronic devices here. They said, well, since the legislature has since passed a law saying that it's not that you can't use electronic devices as a poll challenger, then the issue is moot. So, but the point at hand was whether or not it was unlawful at the time it was issued, which is true. If they had to change the law to make it lawful, then it was unlawful at the time it was issued. But there were no consequences for Jocelyn Benson in response to that. So that's one aspect of the ruling. The other aspect of the ruling, and it gets into a little bit more of the weeds a little bit on this stuff here, but it gets into a discussion of regarding whether or not, let me see the exact provisions here. It talks about specific guidance around who a poll challenger has to talk to in order to get a challenge entered into the record. There are no such stipulations like that in law, but so by forcing them to talk to some unidentified individual for capturing their poll challenges is something that is an extra burden on the poll challengers that's nowhere in statute. And all three of the I call them the legislative powers portion of their ruling here that they granted to Jocelyn Benson, none of them are in state law.
Unbelievable.
So it's frustrating. Here's the most frustrating part about it, Randy?
Sure.
Is that this lawsuit was in the works well before the 2022 election. When it finally got through the system, we got through Court of Claims, went through Court of Appeals, and then when it was in the Court of Appeals, the Michigan Secretary of State intervened on a motion to hold Jocelyn Benson in contempt of court for not following up on the on the orders of Justice Brock Swartzel from the Court of Claims. She had many weeks to go off and update those guidelines, and she did nothing. And so the Michigan Supreme Court came in and intervened and said, you know what, she doesn't have to update them before the election. Effectively, the Michigan Supreme Court said it's okay to conduct an unlawful election using her unlawful guidelines for 2022. And so here it was, so their ruling yesterday said that, that the point is moot because they changed the law since they implemented it. Meanwhile, when we tried to address it before there were any new laws addressed, they said, nope, sorry, you can't do that right now. We got an election coming up. So there's no good time to go off and challenge her unlawfulness.
Right, exactly. And because of the new laws, which, by the way, they did not get in the state Senate, you very well are aware of the process called immediate effect.
Yeah.
They did not get that on these new election laws that they passed in the House, the Senate, partisan lines that Governor Whitmer signed into office, but they are not in effect yet, Pat, for this November 5th election.
Yeah, and you know why that's big, is that we've got our Secretary of State and the Michigan Attorney General issuing threats against canvassers for actions that are only unlawful under the new
laws.
Under the new laws, which won't take effect until after the 2024 election. So what they're amounting to is actually, and this is perhaps some poetic justice, is that both our Michigan Secretary of State and Michigan Attorney General have committed 336 counts of intimidation of an election official under a newly passed law that came as a result of the passage of 4129, which did have immediate effect. That took place back on February 13th. It took effect on February 13th, 2024.
Yep.
And the first two times they call out some elected official, it's a misdemeanor. But all the rest, so in other words, there's 334 felony counts of them trying to intimidate an election official for doing their job.
And those are in immediate effect and are in place as we speak.
Yep. So we have felony charges that should be pending against both those officials. I'm sure Dana Nessel and her team as chief law enforcement official of the state are really going to get on that right away and make sure that we get that addressed right away. So no,
sure.
This is literally a case where they are rules for thee, but not for me. And it's very frustrating, but you know what? The reason that they were intimidating these canvassers is even more important. And this is what they're trying to hide. And every single time they try to pull these bully tactics, this is the case that we need to make to the general public. The reason that they're threatening canvassers that refuse to certify a fraudulent election is because 2020 was never lawfully certified. And the canvassers in Wayne County, they refuse to certify. They refuse to sign the official certification documents. You can only certify an election if you have a written statement to that effect. That's per MCL 168.822. So it's very clear. It's in law. It says has to be signed. They never signed it, and it's got to be at least one Republican and one Democrat per MCL 168.24E. These guys never did it. So this is the reason that they're trying to do it. They don't want our canvassers actually doing canvassing. What they've done and what this new law that doesn't take effect until next year does is it removes the ability of canvassers to have a remedy of quo warranto, which means that they can designate who the rightful winner is of the election when they find evidence in support of malfeasance. And they also have subpoena authority. The new law takes away that writ, the right of, or the ability to issue a writ of quo warranto, and also takes away their subpoena authority, so they can't investigate. They're just forced to go off and take it like a man, if you will, and they're forced to certify whether or not it's fraudulent or not, and they have no recourse otherwise.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, can you stay on through the break?
Absolutely.
We're going to have more discussion with former state senator, gubernatorial candidate Patrick Kobach. We'll be right back.
Hey, Patriots. Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAWater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAWater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Final segment with our discussion with Patrick Kobach. Pat, I have a question. Has to do with the fact that the absentee ballots are supposed to be made available less than a month away from today, September 26th. They're supposed to be going out, which is 45 days before the November 5th general election. At this point, because it's the Michigan Supreme Court making this determination, there is no legal remedy for an injunction to seek if somebody wanted to take this to the United States Supreme Court to start that process. We're just simply too far down the road, too close to the election to do anything legally asking for some type of temporary injunction until it could go to the Supreme Court. Is that an accurate statement?
No, because we've got other actions that are going before the U.S. Supreme Court, and they're going to be dropping within the next week or so. So from a timeline perspective, I mean, think about it in terms of Antrim County, right? They had a last-minute ballot change that they had to submit, and that impacted all the absentee ballots that were sent out back in 2020. So, no, it's kind of never too late. Whenever we've got the information necessary to push forward, I say we push forward on it. It definitely decreases the likelihood of success in there, but, you know, what's right is right. And one thing, though, before we shift into that gear too much, though, I want to highlight that, you know, while we highlight that the Senate Bill 603 with these provisions around the restrictions on the duties of canvassers is out there,
yes,
they're trying to do a fast pass on that. And this is what I believe they're trying to do by putting those provisions of Senate Bill 603 into the newly proposed rules for electronic voting systems. There's provisions in those new rules that get rid of obsolete references, like references to ballot stubs. I mean, these rules haven't been updated since 1979. So what I believe that they are going to try to do is get a fast pass through the Administrative Procedures Act and a little known provision around obsolete rules that allows them to push these new rules forward without the time delay associated with going through the whole rule process. But they, in order to do so, they need the approval of the Legislative Service Bureau, which, by the way, is now beholden to the Democrats in the Senate and the House. So there still is an option for them to try to put this into the quote-unquote rules for the 2024 election. But if they try to do so, it would be disingenuous. That's why, you know, Representative Jim DeSanta testified with me at a public hearing on these rules a couple weeks ago, and why Senator Jim Runstedt's been all over this since the beginning.
Sure, absolutely. Been following Jim's posts on X and been sharing them, talking about them on the radio. I got a very simple Trucker Randy kind of common sense question for you. If you go to your website, letsfixstuff.org, and sift through the many, many posts and information that you put there, you're going to find a photograph of a cell phone actually inside of a machine that is, I believe, a Dominion Heart, ESNS, whatever type of machine it is.
No, the ESNS DS200, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, with this ruling where they're basically banning the use of cell phone technology, can we then file something that says those cell phones must be taken out of these machines before the November 5th election?
I love it. Just so you know, I'm pursuing a similar course of action. I call it the Equal Access Lawsuit that addresses the same basic tenet. They're allowed to go off and do things that the general public isn't allowed to do, or they have access to information that the general public doesn't have access to.
Right.
That's a civil rights violation. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think there might be some grounds there. I like the way you think there, Andy.
Well, you know, just a common sense truck driver guy, you know, if they are telling us we can't use our cell phones, then they shouldn't be able to use their cell phones that are in every single one of these machines.
Yeah, but you know, the rules are for us, not for them. And
all their election officials
still have their cell phones, you notice.
Oh yeah. Chris Thomas, including right there in Cobo Hall that night when we were talking to him. Hey, one last quick question.
Yeah, they got to talk to their friends in Belgrade, Serbia about how the software is supposed to operate.
Yes, exactly. Get the updates into the machines. Let me ask you this question. Do you see these other rulings that are forthcoming from the United States Supreme Court having any actual impact that may affect things here in Michigan?
As a minimum, I think they're going to get information out to people that they've been prohibited from getting access to up until now. I mean, when you look at Craig Mauger's Twitter feed, for example, he's still got a conversation between the Wayne County canvassers and Donald Trump, or a reference to a conversation. He never provides the full conversation because it would provide exculpatory evidence that would lead people away from his conclusion, of course. But
sure.
They want to prevent access to this information. Nobody knows that Wayne County was never lawfully certified in 2020, despite you, me, and the folks who were there trying to get that word out. So I think there's value in getting the information out, and it's gravy if we actually get them to act upon that information.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you very much fighting the good fight, keeping us abreast, updated on all this information. And stay strong, and hopefully we can get something out there at least so we can share information with people prior to November 5th. Greatly appreciate everything you're doing, sir.
Hey, thank you for everything you're doing to get the info out. Knock 'em alive.
Absolutely. Okay, brother. Thanks a lot.